What did he move over here? Nebuchadnezzar, that he took he was given schar for the steps that he took. He murdered 15 lines up from the bottom. Fifth word to the end of the line. Hani.
Got it.
Hani dalet pshiyas mayi. What were the dalet pshiyas, the four steps that Nebuchadnezzar took? Remember, we're saying that he did something good. Therefore, he was zeicher to certain rewards. He got certain power and it was to destroy. Okay? So, Hani dalet pshiyas mayi. What were these four steps that he took? It says, Ba'isahi. In those days, Shalach Merudach, Beladon ben Beladon, Melech Babel Sepharim. Merudach, Beladon, the son of Beladon, the king of Babel, sent letters. What does it mean? Mishum, Chola, Chizkiah, and Chizkiah got sick. Oyechazek, and he got better. Shadalei Sepharim, or Mincha. He sent a letter with presents, with gifts. To Chizkiah, I guess, acknowledged him the tremendous miracle that had transpired. And what did he want to know? Didroish as a moipis as shahoyi baretz. He wanted to have an understanding as to the moipis that happened in those days. What happened? The Hummer of Yechanan. Yechanan says, Oisha Ayoyim, that day, Shemes by Achaz, that Achaz died. Stay show you show you. The day was only 2 hours long. Chichal Chizkiah got sick with and he got better. Hadrinu Kutcher Brichu Lahanach Esar Shoy Niale. Hashem turned the 10 hours that the day took 10 hours longer. Siv Hinni Meshiv Eschel Amaylos. Hashem Yordav Amaylos Ochos. Shemesh Acheranis Esar Amaylos. Ratoshev Hashemesh Esem Miles Hashem Yorda. That Hashem returned the 10 miles of the sun were taken away in the time of Achaz. So, this king, Rudach Belodin Ben Belodin, happened to notice that the sun was not setting. It went for 10 hours longer. So he realized there's a problem. Something's going on. Amalei Maya, Mayhai. He turned to the people near him. So what's so special about today? That the sun is going for 10 extra hours. Amalei Chizkiah Cholosh Ve'etvich. They told him, oh, you didn't hear? It's because Chizkiah was sick on his deathbed. And he was healed. And in that honor, the sun went for 10 extra hours. Omar. So Merudach Belodin Ben Belodin said, Ike Gaber Kihai is such a great person. And I don't have to send him a letter of shalom. I'm chayiv to show my respect. If such a person could, through him or because of him, create that the sun should stay 10 extra hours. So kasu leshlama the malka chizkiah. He wrote a letter. He said, peace to the kingdom of Chizkiah. Shalom l'karta to Yerushalayim, and peace to the town of the city of Yerushalayim. Shalom l'karaba, and peace to the great God. And he wrote this letter, and he sent it, he gave it to the hands of the messenger, and the messenger took it. Nebuchadnezzar, Safi de Belodin, Ave Ayishai, Nebuchadnezzar happened to be the writer for Belodin. And he shaked the lava also. During that time, those few minutes, he was out of the room. He also, when he came back, Amaluhu, they told him, Hechi Kasvinu. He said, Amaluhu, Hechi Kasvinu, how did you write it? Amaluhu lay, so they said to him, Hechi Kasvinu. So he said, Hechi Kasvinu, Amaluhu, Karisu, Karaba. He says, you're calling it showing to the great God, and you wrote him last? Remember, what was the lashon of the letter? That showing to Chizkiah, showing to the city of Yerushalayim, showing to Hashem. So Nebuchadnezzar said, wait a minute, if you're talking about Elokei Rabba, the great God, then he should have been written first. So Amar Lay, so Lebesayv Amar, Lebesayv is Amar, Elokei Rabba. This is how you write it. Sholem Elokei Rabba, Sholem Elokei Dushalem, Sholem Malka Chizkiyah. He said, you wrote it backwards, you gotta write it this way. This is what Nebuchadnezzar told the Mekutach B'Modim Ben B'Lodah. He said, you have to change it, you can't write it, it's not respectful of Hashem to write him less. So Amalei, so they said to him, Kraina di Garta Iu Levi Parvanka. This is a famous saying, that the one who reads the letters should be the one to bring the letters. In other words, yeah, you're a big shot, you go take care of it. Go catch up to the guy that I sent, write it how you want, and then send it. It's basically a way of saying, yeah, so then you go ahead, you take care of it. So Rod Basray, so he went to run after the messenger. Okay, the Rod Arba Barsi, and on the side it says Shalosh, because we'll see him Hashal, some say it was three. We always know that, why do we take three steps back? The three steps is from the three steps of Nebuchadnezzar. So they changed the four to three. So also Gavriel came to Ukman. And he stopped him. He didn't let him run any further. If not for the fact that Nebuchadnezzar was stopped in his tracks, and he was not allowed to take another step, there would not be a takana for Nahum, the ones who hate the Yidden. Rashi says, "Shall Yischarim Aruba, Yischar would be very great. He would have permission to just wipe everybody out. There would be no remnant of us." So Gavriel went and stopped him, in order to preserve the future of Klal Yisrael. Maybe he'll knock us down, but we'll never be knocked out. We'll always come back again.
So that was so great that it overshadowed whatever Klal Yisrael was doing at that time, that he would have been able
well,
to.
Well, remember, we discussed the vulnerabilities. We made ourselves vulnerable through the different things that went on. In the first base of Mikdash, it was the Gimel Averis Chamures of Gil Rashi and Zara. The base of Mikdash Sheni was the Siskin. Whenever a guy had rights, so to speak, to reap his reward on the backs of the Yidden, was only because we created a situation of vulnerability. That's what we say. I told it to you last week. Haman would never have been able to get his foot in the door. If not for the fact that he was able to tell Achashverosh, Mefuza Mefoyer Beno Amim, that Klal Yisrael doesn't even get along with themselves. Mefuza Mefoyer is a very interesting thing. That was enough to create a kitrug, a vulnerability, and now Haman was able to come up against Klal Yisrael. An amazing thing. I mean, you find even in the Megillah, we aren't going to talk about Purim tonight, but we just got onto it. In the Megillah, you find Kufa, this word by Esther. When Esther wanted to get in Tachashverosh, what did she say? She told Haman that Kenoi says call Yehudim and Sarim B'Shushan, Sumo Alai. And what did she say? She said, "Knois, call Yidden and tell you, gather all the Yidden, and then it's two more life. Tell them to fear for me." Now, first of all, we ask a couple of questions. First of all, time was of the essence. So why is it Knesset called Yehudim? We just saw a couple weeks ago a tremendous Kiddush Shem Shemayim where a car could drive around telling everybody to say Tehillim And every shul was saying to them, yes, they all gathered in one place. But that wasn't everybody. There was maybe 500 or 1,000 people. But there's a lot more than that amount of people in the neighborhood. But everybody was davening for the Yashiv. So everybody, every shul had their own thing on Friday nights. Every shul had their own seder. Every shul had... We're not all told, put up a big tent somewhere, and everybody should come together. You know, it's time you're wasting. But yet, what it has to say, Knoises call you them and serve Shusha. First, gather them all together. And then she said, but two more lie. Now, two more lie is funny, because their lives were in danger as well. That's why we were going to Esther to ask her to go on our behalf. Two more lie. It's an amazing thing, because what Esther was trying to do over there was, that's what Esther was doing, the Mepharshim said. And therefore, in order to combat Mefuzah Mefarid Beinu Haman, to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no, Haman was wrong, so she said, K'naisis Kolim, get everybody together. I don't care if you're yeshivish or not yeshivish, that Tulumi, Kibashugah, or Strimo, everybody together in one place. And with two more lives, stop worrying about yourself so much. Worry about me. Worry about Yenim. And that would work to counterattack the Kitrig of Mefuzah Mefarid, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, okay, you're going to do tshuva now. And goof of the thing that was being used against him, oh, so now the Yidden are going to have the koyach to be able to come and fight against Haman and the rest of the Goyim that were coming to destroy them. So you find such a concept. Yeah. We create the vulnerability that the Goy could go and overcome us, but at the same time we still always retain the ability to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to fix it in the socket it, so that therefore we could have the Hatzolah at the end. It's very important to realize that. But it's interesting to take a look the strategy that was employed. I read over a tape for Avigdor Miller. I mean, I wasn't even going to speak about this, but we'll go once we're here. I'll say it. When you deal with the nations of people, you deal with people. Miller said, Gavaldiki said, he said over, in 1975, he was speaking to a bunch of seminary girls, and he said over, this is the Harry, he said, how does someone deal with Haman? How does someone deal with Amalek? How does someone deal with Esau? How do you do it? There's different approaches. Because if you go back and you look, way back in the day, before Hitler really became the powerful Hitler in Machshima, there were a lot of misguided, unlearned, quote, quasi-pseudo Jewish leaders who had no shakas to Yiddishkeit, atheists and socialists, and all they were interested was in Medina Yisrael, and they went and they were preaching and screaming and yelling speeches against Hitler. We should boycott Germany, and we should do this and do that. That's what they were, that was their approach, to basically trying, and they were in America. This is what was going on in Manhattan. Now, just read the history of Millicent. And he was alive then. He lived here. He saw it. He said, this is what was going on. I was here. I saw it. Now, he was in Europe and he was here. He was only in Europe for 6 years.
You know, so?
No, I'm talking about in America and in Europe. And in Europe. In 1930. Okay? And now what happened? What happened is the officers in Hitler's army, in his office, secretaries, they would bring him in daily, the international news, you know, the Times and the different international newses, clippings he could read. He would always like to see what's the world saying about him. And there was it's testified by an eyewitness that was in the room that when one day he was there, this person, one of the big Goyish executioners, and he witnessed them bring in the clippings to Hitler, Yimach Shemo, of him reading
what these, quote, reform rabbis, the Jewish agency people screaming in Manhattan to boycott Germany and whatever, he got him so angry that he fell on the ground. This is the quote. And he was biting on the carpet and swearing that he would destroy all the Jews. Now, the approach was defiance as opposed to with strategies, you go to war against the Yetzirah. With strategies, you go to war against your enemy. You don't arch your back and be defiant, because all you do is incur the wrath. You get them angrier. Where do we see that from? Says Rabbi Chana, from Yaakov Avinu. When he went to fight against Esav, he sent Doron, he sent presents, he humbled himself. He bowed down in front of Esav. And he caused that Esav would be mollified. He was softened, Esav. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Because his strategy was a strategy of Torah to condemn them throughout the generations. When they went to meetings with the highest in the government, and they would spend money to try to buy Yidden. And who were the ones stopping it? Who were the ones stopping it? The people that were behind the Zionists, the ones that were behind trying to create a state. They were the ones against saving the Yidden. The writer, Stephen Weiss, who used to write for one of the papers, he would come out saying, they even sent pickets in front of the Tzeir HaGudish Yisrael in downtown Manhattan. They used to send food to the Jews in the ghetto, and they picketed outside, they didn't want to give them any money. It was very strange. And Rav Miller has a bunch of reasons why they could have done it. One reason was, is because the Mises, unfortunately, some of the big anti-Yahadis people, they were known, one of them, his name is Greenbaum, he's one of the big starters of the state back in the 40s. He said, better, if there's one extra goat in the land of Israel, it's better than saving a whole town of European Jews. One goat in Israel is better than a whole town of European Jews. And these are his quotes. And there was an animosity. Miller even said on the tape, he said that their chesed was that the more people die, the better it is. Because when we go in front of the United Nations to try to get them to okay a state, they'll have more sympathy if there were more people killed. So they weren't trying to save anybody. And you read their book, you read the history, you'll see. The revisionist history is trying to make it sound differently. But it's not even true. Not only that, he said on the tape, Mamish, I had to hold on tight, I almost fell over, that they didn't even want the state. They wanted to be friendly with the government in Britain. They really didn't want. It's just once they saw that there was a bunch of people fighting for it, they were then the last on the bandwagon. Because then they realized, okay, they could get away with it. And they played on the heart, yes.
I'm just not following the change of position. Originally, the Chilenim were very anti-Hitler. They're like very,
not a matter of anti. No one was pro. But when you go to combat Esav, you go to combat Amalek, you use Daron, you use Chachma, you use subtleties.
They gave him Czechoslovakia, that didn't help too much.
Huh?
They gave him Czechoslovakia.
No, because you can't do it with Hitler.
So what? How could you appease him?
No, so the way they did it is they went to Himmler and they offered $70 a head, and he was willing to give away Jews for $70 a head until the agency made it public, and then he was embarrassed that he had to stop doing it. That means you were able to go. There was
the
Weissman, the Jewish agency. If you could use the word Jewish, the Rav Weissmandel was sending messages to Rav Aaron Kotler, to Rav Avraham Kalmanovich, to get money, to use this money to be able to buy Yidden out, and there was all sorts of. They were employing the strategies of Yaakov Avinu. Of course, when all else fails, you got to fight. He prepared for Muhammad too. But that's the last resort. That's the last resort. Did Yaakov end up having to fight with Esav? If that was his first resort, what happened was that he should have went up, making believe he was going to
you know, bow down. And then when Asaf came close, he should have got up with a spear and shot him. That's not the way. Because then more people, that's what Yaakov Levinu's taina was. On Reuben and Levi, when they went, Shimon and Levi, when they went to kill out Shem, he said, now I'm up the creek. You don't capitulate, but you don't create more anger. You don't create more problems with people. You don't create that. Therefore, they're gonna say, "Oh, you're screaming over there. We're gonna go kill more Jews." You keep talking against me, I'll keep turning them into ashes. That was what was going on at the time. So Esther went into Ahasuerus. She understood. She can't go in right away and just come in. We'll talk. I'll give you what you want. You know, like there was tugging at the heart, to try to get him to, so that when he finally said, "Yisarva Oyev Haman Aras," there was a okay. In Achashverosh's mind, he had to do something, and we don't know what he would have done. It's only because when he walked out by Hamasai, he came back and Amalek pushed Haman down on the bed. That clinched it. Mashma, if that wouldn't have happened, what would have been Achashverosh's response? Probably a lot less severe. Hey, you know what? Let's sit down at the negotiation table and let's work it out. No, just get him to close his eyes when he bows down to the cross and we got no problems. Who knows what would have been the pshara? But that wasn't it. It wasn't enough. The Malach had to come and push him down. That clinched it. But we see that the whole approach is a more of a Talmudic approach. The way, and that's what creates by us the vulnerabilities and the abilities to, when we do things wrong, we create vulnerabilities that are going to have krech over us. When we do things right, so then we now created the opportunity to be masaking those issues. So it's the same thing over here. The same exact thing over here. Gavriel saw what was going on. So Gavriel you couldn't take a chance. Right now, the vulnerabilities, the abilities that Kaiser was doing, were creating such an opportunity for Nebuchadnezzar to do what he wanted to do, that Gavriel had to step in and stop it. But the emes is that is what we have to be thankful for. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says, that if not for the fact that Gavriel came, there would be no takana l'senein shel Yisrael. There would be no takana. It would be harder. No takana means there would be no other out. That's a very scary statement. That it should come so close. So Lamaisa, you see an interesting limit over here. That happens to hook up with Purim as well. Something to keep in mind.
Which was the biggest chiddush? That did something good, or the Klal Yisrael was such, put themselves in such a position that if they were in that position, no matter what Nebuchadnezzar did, they wouldn't be able to do anything. In other words, if they weren't vulnerable, then he could have run 6-7 after him, and it wouldn't have happened.
It wouldn't have happened right then, right. Correct.
But they made themselves so...
I don't think those two things are connected. The fact that he did what he did it. He didn't do it because they did our various... It was able to be part of...
The big chiddush is that Klal Yisrael let themselves drop to such a level that something like this, that Nebuchadnezzar would have such a...
So now that goes back to what we're going to get to now. You know, what the Gemara said before. The schar of something to us that seems to be insignificant, we can't measure. We can't measure. It's what the Gemara said before. If a person can take one step to be marba kvoit shemayim, that creates such a palace in the next world for him that you can't measure it. We don't understand what that means. The reason why it's so lax. We don't understand the schar. Chavetz Chaim says in Shev Oilam, every letter, every word of Torah is Talmud Torah Kenegah Kol. It's worth more than all the other mitzvahs you do. Now, just imagine, you come to a shiur for a half hour. Out of the half hour, let's say we space out 20 minutes. We learn 10 minutes. Let's say, you know, it happens. So, we learn 10 minutes. 10 minutes times 60 seconds, how many words could you say? We should every day, if you really think about it, every single day, when we come to learn, we should get out and we should make a rakida, we should be dancing home, we should be intoxicated with happiness. If we had a Muna, and we understood, you know how many people are watching television right now, or people are going to the movies, or they're at some theater, or they're going out to eat, or they're doing whatever they're doing. You know, but we're here learning now. We'll do those things tomorrow. But right now, you know the schar we get? It's not measurable. If he could get such a schar, one step, for three steps, for Kfoy Shemayim, but we're doing Kfoy Shemayim on a constant basis, you know what kind of schar we're getting? It's amazing. And that's why the Gedolim Taka always walked around with that simcha, because they were padding their bank account. It was a constant. By us, we so caught up with the world, we don't realize that we're going to get schar just for trying. It's an amazing... This Gemara should be such a booster shot. Every time we're a little tired, and we're a little, should I do the mitzvah? Should I not? Should I go to lunch? If I do this, it's going to create a kitchen shabbat. But if I don't do it, no one's going to know. I'm staying at home. Not kill Hashem. But yet, you're wrong. By creating Kiddush Shem Shemayim, if you prevent yourself from doing that, that's an avera. Because you're going to realize all of this could have been accomplished and you didn't do it. It's an amazing accusation against us. And that's one of the limudim we can see from this Gemara.
I think there's a point missing.
Go ahead.
What you're really saying is that individually we should have unlimited bank accounts. We should be learning night and day. However, we do have responsibility for all Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be an aspect of communal responsibility, of being responsible to Makar of other people.
Absolutely.
Wait a minute.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't jive. In other words,
why not?
It doesn't. There are very few groups that are doing. I mean, everyone should. It's like, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Mormons. They're the greatest Avodah Zorah today. But in their Avodah Zorah, they go in every town, every place, they go in teams, and they makarv people all day long. They don't care if they're Chinese, Japanese, they couldn't care less. We do not objectively do that. We go with what you said just now. We will sit and learn, and we're going to get a big bank account, but we're really not into helping the chilonim. We're not really trying to, you know, show them something that will attract them.
I'll tell you yes. what could be your missing, and that is that the truth of the matter is we are constantly, any regular person, I'm not talking about the noise makers out on the fringe.
No.
The regular people,
we're sitting here.
We are on a constant basis.
Yes.
Interacting with the chilonim on a regular day, on a regular basis, and by acting respectful to them, we are doing kiyur v'chaykim every second we interact with them. We're not mechuyev. Put it this way, not the word mechuyev. We're not necessarily supposed to go to the chiloni and open up the Gemara and say, hey, if you don't learn this, you're worth nothing. No. By interacting with the person and dealing with the person in a respectful way, that is the biggest kiyur v'chaykim shayach. That they see that, you know something? They respect me for the fact that I'm a person. And they're dealing with me like I'm a person. And we constantly, I know on any given day, you deal with a tremendous amount of chilonim on a regular daily basis. And if you just get off the bus and you say, Tadar Abba, and the guy says, Mavakasha back, that was kiyur v'chaykim. And if you don't, then you're Machal Shem Shemayim. And that's, we are all, we, it's not a contradiction. While we're in this room, we're not Osik with that. But I'm only in this room a couple hours a day.
I'm only here a couple hours a day.
But most of my day, I'm interacting with people, whether it's on the bus, whether it's in the doctors, whether wherever I am. I'm dealing constantly with recently I'm in a matzah now. I get a letter from a lawyer because I changed my car insurance. The old car insurance is angry that we left them, so they charged me a certain amount of money. So I called up and said, I don't owe you the money. No, you changed us, you're going to have to pay. So they sent me a letter from a lawyer. So I went to my own lawyer and I said, do me a favor, get back in touch with them and let them know that they should let me know why I owe them if I don't owe them. Turned out, it's a nebuch. But the lady who was the secretary that was doing the dirty work is as chiloni as can be. I'm not going to tell you who her boss was because I just can't say it in my news, but it's not chiloni. And I was right. But what did I had to have Siyat Shmaya. I had to send him a copy of my Kartis Ashray that I got a zikui back from the Chevet Bitochon to show that you can't tell me I owe you money if they're giving me back a zikui. Contradiction. Right. No wonder why you... So what did he want? That I should make the check out to him, the broker.
Of course.
Personally. But I don't pay the broker. I pay the company.
Absolutely.
And the poor lady who's a chiloni, he was heck angry enough to cancel it. And that didn't give him a right to still take my money. But the lady who was caught, and one second, she was putting up to do something that she didn't agree with. But I was as Haredi as I look Haredi, and I was very derech Haredi, very spiral. I said, just show me how they made a mistake and they should not have given me my zikui, and that not only were they wrong, but I owed them money. And I'll be glad to give you the money. I said, I'm not going to come back to this world because I owe you money. If I'm going to come back, let it be because of a divan or vera divan, not for this one. And she's looking at me, and you could have a very big impact on chilonim if you're respectful to them. The problem is, unfortunately, we live with a very noisy minority of people, and we all get caught up with a lot of it. But I know myself.
Yes. But constantly you hear, because of them, we're punished.
You can't paint with a broad stroke, though. Each of us are individuals, and we deal with people all the time. I mean,
Matinuk Shinishba,
yeah.
And also, it's very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch says a guy who's not, he's Jewish by birth, he can yotze you with your tzitzis by him making the bracha. If you have in mind, he can be yotze. And he doesn't even put tzitzis on.
That's right.
I mean, that's how vite it goes.